Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's Thursday, October 1st, 2009, and it's 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Welcome to my show, and welcome my co-host, Hillary. How are you, Hillary?
Hi, Alan. I'm doing good. I can't believe it's October already, but here we are.
Yes, exactly. So for everyone, Hillary is our features editor at Blog Talk Radio, and I am the chief janitor and occasional CEO of Blog Talk Radio. So it's really great to be here today. We have a really interesting guest, Nancy Liu, who we'll introduce in a moment. Once again, you're listening to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. That's where the archive of this recording will take place in around 20 or 30 minutes after the show. You can find it on iTunes as well as our homepage. So look forward to an interesting few moments with Nancy Liu. And Hillary, why don't you introduce our guest?
I will, and it's a little bit intimidating, but an honor to have on a broadcasting pro like Nancy Liu. She's an Emmy Award-winning anchor. She has a ton of broadcasting experience. Currently, she's at Fox News in Chicago, but she's done reporting all around the world on a lot of interesting world news and issues. And she maintains her own blog online, and she's on Twitter. She's very active in all different aspects of Web 2.0, and she works and interacts with bloggers a lot as well. So we would like to ask a lot of questions of Nancy, and we'll welcome her to the show now.
I'm so honored to be on the show. Thanks so much, Alan and Hillary. I am a big fan of Blog Talk Radio, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you very much, and we have to provide full disclosure. You are sitting in traffic, standing still, and in Chicago somewhere. So where are you, actually?
I'm on the Kennedy Expressway in Chicago, and anyone who knows Chicago knows that the Kennedy Expressway is always jammed. So I'll be sitting in this traffic for quite some time.
Oh, very good. So now tell us your name. Just give us a little of background, your background, and what brought you to where you are now. And, you know, you had mentioned you were in New York for 12 years. So maybe give us a little of your background.
Wow. Please. I've been all over the place. I'm born in Hong Kong, raised in Northern California. I went to college at the University of Oregon. And afterwards, I worked at the ABC affiliate in Eugene, Oregon for a short time before moving to Hong Kong to become a reporter and anchor for an English station there. During that time, I met my husband while covering a coup attempt in the Philippines. And in a very roundabout way, we wound up in New York City because he was working with CNN at the time, transferred to New York City. So I wound up working with several stations in New York for 12 years before joining Fox Chicago back in 2001. So I've been here ever since. I am a reporter for our early morning news, and then I anchor our news at noon. And as you know, we have a lot of news here in Chicago, especially with our Olympic bid going to be decided tomorrow. So there's a lot of anticipation.
Goodness.
Yeah, a lot of anticipation here in Chicago over what's going to happen in Copenhagen tomorrow.
So the Olympic bid that
the pressure's on, huh?
Yeah. So just give us a little detail. I mean, what are the odds makers put this at? Is Chicago winning that?
Well, people who are watching closely put the race between Chicago and Rio de Janeiro, but also in the running is Tokyo and Madrid. And as you know, the president will be leaving soon for Copenhagen. He will be there for just 4 hours to make the pitch to the IOC. We have had Oprah there. We have Michelle Obama there. We have quite a star-studded team. And, you know, there is a lot of support in Chicago. The last survey that was taken showed that 72% of Chicagoans do support the games in Chicago, and 82% of all Americans would like the games in Chicago.
That is
interesting.
I
think tough. China's a tough act to follow, though, huh?
That's true. And I know that the Obama administration has been talking closely with Tony Blair in Britain because they are the next ones up. And I know we're getting tips from London to see how they landed the games and, you know, hopefully follow in their footsteps.
I think Obama would love those approval ratings.
Yeah, these days, I think so.
We'll just swap them out. We'll just swap them out, Alan.
So you had mentioned, so anyway, by the way, we'd like to take calls. That's Blog Talk Radio. It's an interactive format. We're talking live now with Nancy, and if you'd like to call in and ask a question, it's 347-677-0649. Our top producer, Demos, is manning the producer's room. Of course, it's all virtual. There's no room, but he's wherever he is. He's manning the switchboard. Nancy, tell us a little about your Web 2.0 and your social media forays. I know you're on Twitter. You've got some blogs. So let's talk a little about how that's transformed your journalism career. You know, how do you view these social media tools as part of what you do and what you're trying to accomplish?
I love social media. I think it enhances what we do. And I think because journalism is changing so rapidly, we as journalists need to keep evolving and taking advantage of the tools that are there. The technology is changing, so we need to learn to use the newest tools. And, you know, the growing pains are definitely painful. But as a journalist, I feel that we do need to evolve and use whatever tools. I love social media. I think it helps us immensely. And I'm sure you guys are using it too.
Well,
oh, yeah.
We are social media, so... I mean, Blog Talk Radio's platform is a social media platform. I mean, the hosts that we host a 1,000 live broadcasts a day by people that, you know, they don't have their own radio show on terrestrial radio. They don't have TV shows. Some actually do now. We have some big announcements coming up. But we are, in essence, a social media platform. Because,
right.
Yeah, so we embrace it. And really a lot of what we do is make sure that these conversations that are taking place are integrated into Facebook and into Twitter and so on and so forth. So it is an amazing time, and it just opens up the world to new publishers and new ideas and sharing of information.
And I think it's really exciting for traditional television outlets because I work on a traditional newscast. We go on the air at noon every day here in Chicago. But what Twitter and Facebook have allowed me to do is interact with viewers during the show. I will talk with viewers during taped reports, during commercial breaks. And, you know, back in the old days, people would watch a newscast and it would be a one-sided conversation, really. You have an anchor talking at you, and I never really got to hear what people are thinking of the stories or even thinking about, you know, a hair sticking out of my head or something like that. And, you know, I love social media because it allows viewers to, you know, reach out and actually converse with me.
Right.
I agree. I have some questions about that because I'm sure you watch a lot of CNN, and Rick Sanchez was one of the first major anchors to get involved, you know, really heavily with Twitter. And
yeah,
there's
Rick
been
the, does a great
he's
job.
Great. I think he's great, and I think he's done a great job integrating it. But I have some opinion questions. Do you think that sometimes it might lean a little too heavily on reading other people's Twitter streams rather than doing straight factual reporting sometimes? Or what do you think about that?
I always try and spread things out. I keep an eye on the wires. I keep an ear to our control room to see what people are thinking, because the truth is, everyone is not on Twitter, so you can go Twitter crazy.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
I found Twitter to be useful during the Michael Jackson memorial because we weren't getting a clean feed out from inside the memorial, and yet I logged onto Twitter. I followed the hashtag from people tweeting inside the memorial, and I was able to kind of get a sense of the feeling and the mood inside the Staples Center because we didn't have anyone in there. And it was a situation where we needed, as anchors, to tap dance over the pictures we were seeing, and we were not hearing from anybody. So Twitter was helpful to me in that sense, in relaying the mood inside, but I couched it with, this is a person who claims to be inside.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what
context.
Right,
context
right.
is key here.
Now, what are your thoughts on the recent information coming out of the Washington Post in terms of not allowing the writers and journalists to tweet? Did you follow that stream? Howard Kurtz had some tweets on it, and maybe even wrote an article or a blog post. There was a lot of over the weekend this had come out. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about it vague. I'm in a vague sense. I didn't read the entire report, but for me personally, anything that you feel that is questionable, anytime I write a tweet and I think, should I send that? I don't send it.
Yeah.
But when in doubt, err on the safe side.
Right. Don't send it. I think one of the senior editors actually had taken his point of view and put it in the form of a tweet, and this was really an independent journalist who was reporting on news and information, and
mm-hmm.
and that got back. It was contrary. His opinion was really, his personal opinion was then really conflicted a bit with what went on in the article, and that was flowing through the Washington Post at the senior level,
yeah.
And so there's a lot of interesting commentary.
And really, social media is still somewhat of a gray area for traditional journalists. A lot of
mm-hmm.
companies have yet to come out with a policy or a handbook, and really we're kind of, learning as we go, and perhaps mistakes will be made. And that's why I do tread carefully, and usually I, try and tweet things that enhance somebody's, interpretation of a story or may bring somebody into a story. I try and tweet pictures that are fun and unusual that, people may usually not get to see from, sitting at home and watching on TV.
So since Hillary was kind, she Skyped me the...
I just put it in the chat room, too, so our listeners can read it.
So
if
our
they
listeners
want to.
Have it in the chat room, and there's an article that's written by Howard Kurtz this morning. It's entitled To Tweet or Not to Tweet. And, of course, the Washington Post put out guidelines for its staff to use social media. So he included five of his own. So I'll just quickly read them and tell me what you think. One is, don't say something that makes you look like a blithering idiot. Don't appear
without saying.
Okay, right. I guess we'd have to include that. Don't appear to be in the pocket of Democrats or Republicans or birthers or truthers. Pick subjects on which you actually have a clue. Refrain from boring people with the minutiae of your daily life, and don't say anything you couldn't defend as fair analysis in print or on the air. So those are his five tidbits.
I agree with all of them. I love Howard Kurtz. I think he's great. So, yeah, I agree with all those.
Yeah, it's interesting because it does seem to be common sense in a lot of ways, but then when you realize that, to me, the last one is interesting because don't say anything that you couldn't defend as fair analysis in print or on the air. And I think sometimes people in the web world forget that when you're publishing something, you really are publishing it and you are the author. So anything that you might say or interpret as breaking any kind of general journalistic rules is still really breaking them, even though you're using a different medium. And I think that's something that's taking a little bit of time for people to adjust to that concept.
And for now, the web seems like the Wild West, and it'll take a while to maybe tame and rein things in.
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask you, who is the most interesting and engaging person that you've personally interviewed?
That I've personally interviewed?
Anything that sticks out, anyone that really sticks out, or one or
you
two?
Know,
or...
I got to sit next to former President George Herbert Walker Bush for dinner years ago. He was speaking after he was out of office in Connecticut. I don't know, people may not know that he has an incredible sense of humor. I don't know if you guys recall do you remember when he threw up on the Japanese Prime Minister's lap? When he
yes.
yes.
Years and years ago. Well, the dinner was not long after that, and I joked to him. I said, the next Asian to sit next to you at dinner.
That's wonderful.
Throw up on me. And he just had a great sense of humor about it. And I learned that he loves to surf the internet, and he loves to internet shop. He emails all the time. He's quite web savvy.
Really?
Wow.
So I wonder if he does interviews. Maybe we could get him on.
You should definitely try. I know that he wants to go parachute again for his next birthday. He went jumping out of a plane for his 80th birthday, and I know he wants to do that again.
Oh, my goodness. What a daredevil.
So that's a very cool story. So, and I trust that he didn't throw up in your lap.
No, and he said, please notice that there's no broccoli for dinner.
Very good. That's good.
Yikes.
And so that's an exciting.
That's a cool person to interview.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, through my career, I've gotten to meet all kinds of people who come through our studios. Shakira, I got to meet a few years ago. I love her because she's short like me.
Do you have as much energy as she does? I've seen some of her videos.
No, and I wish I could have hips like hers that don't lie.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, before we got on, I asked you a question about just the industry, the journalism is a profession. And,
right.
And what's happening to it. And I one of the things that I was sitting on a panel with Sri Srinivasan, who is a great guy someone you know, and he's a dean of public affairs at the Columbia School of Journalism, and he's also a Blog Talk Radio host. He has three shows here. But he had mentioned that admissions are at all-time highs at the university. And I thought that was really interesting, given the industry and how, you know, the monetization platforms are really not fully in place yet, and there's so many publishers. And what's your thought of that? And you know,
that is interesting that, you know, more and more people who want to get into the business, and yet the business is shrinking. As we speak, we've gone through, you know, numerous rounds of layoffs, not just in television, but in newspapers, as you know, and in radio. It's interesting that so many people would still want to get involved in journalism, but I think the art of journalism, it's a noble profession. There will always need to be people to tell amazing stories. A computer will never be able to interpret human emotion and relay it and tell it in, you know, a compelling way. So there will always be a need for amazing storytellers. Our tools will change, our platforms may change, but we will always need amazing storytellers.
And what do you think of, or do you have a point of view on what Rupert Murdoch is talking about in terms of paying for online content and how to work through some of those issues? Do you have any just general views on
And I know that my boss, Rupert Murdoch, is proposing that. I know. That's my boss, Rupert Murdoch. So I don't know the details of exactly how it would work, but, you know, I would have to wait and see.
Okay, I forgot that he was your boss.
He's a boss of a lot of people, Alan. So
yes, that's true. I'm sure you're not going to get a call from him later. Now, you were at a Blogger, the big conference, weren't you? And how was that experience? Well, of course, it was in Chicago, right?
Yes, I think Blogger was an amazing experience. It's an empowering event for women, and I was amazed by how many women have blogs and the power of women who have blogs. And I love that. I guess there's so much influence and women have so much say and clout, I guess, in the web world. And I'm thoroughly impressed. And, you know, my new heroes are a lot of blog stars. And I've gotten to know, you know, like Beth Bleckerman, who's our Tech Mama and involved with the Silicon Valley Moms Group. I've gotten to know MJ Tam, who's the founder of ChicagoNista.com. So just talking with important web people and learning from them has been an incredible experience for me.
You're listening to The Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio with our guest Nancy Liu, and we're having a great conversation. And I fully agree. I mean, we of course, you know, hundreds and hundreds of maybe thousands of mom blogs on Blog Talk Radio, hosting their own radio shows, talking about things that are important to them, sharing ideas, and you know, moms are in. Let's face it, moms are in. Moms are always in, but now they're really in. I mean, and what's happening is that the brands, and I know I was an app blogger, but I know that the brands had quite a bit of a presence there. They're looking for authentic conversations. They're looking for people that are authentic, and moms are, and the bloggers are, and it's their life, and it's not necessarily a figurehead or someone who's on TV
right.
in during daytime. That's really the appeal now. It's quite interesting.
And that's what's been wonderful for me as a traditional media journalist to venture into new media as I have. I've just been embraced these incredible women who've inspired me to continue blogging. And, you know, it's funny how when I first launched my blog site, I, you know, wrote a blog and I thought, oh, that wasn't so hard. And then John Hayden, who's a friend of mine, social media friend of mine up in the Northeast, he says, you need to blog every day. You're not done. I said, oh. And I realized, oh, my gosh, I made more work for myself because I work full time. I wake up at 2 in the morning every day for my job. And now
wow.
I've created
Goodness.
More work for myself. But you know what? Writing comes naturally to me. I became a journalist because I love words. I love storytelling. And for me to write a blog takes, you know, no time. And it comes filling out of me. So, but I realized that, you know, launching the website is the easy part, and maintaining it and blogging every day and filling it with content, you know, that's work.
It is.
I'm sure your viewers really appreciate it, though, because, you know, as someone who watches a lot of news and consumes a lot of media as my job, and I love it when people have personal blogs that they actually update themselves and are invested in and update frequently, and it's a great glimpse into someone's real perspectives and their you know, lived experiences beyond what you might see on a shorter form television show or something like that. So
right.
I appreciate that a lot.
I always try and blog about things that enhance what people have seen on TV, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know. On a straight newscast, you really don't see what happened during the commercial break or what we talk about behind the scenes. And we had Dr. Oz on as a guest this week, and my co-anchor happened to have called in sick that day, so I was doing the show by myself. And Dr. Oz sat down in the co-anchor chair, and I joked that you should just co-anchor. And he goes, okay, why not?
Right.
And he did co-anchor with me for 2 segments, and you know, I blogged about that whole experience, and then I blogged about what my co-anchor said when he came back to work, and everyone was talking about Dr. Oz.
Oh, is that right?
That's
well, I
awesome.
Saw your tweets on that as well. You seemed like a kid in a candy. You were so excited, Dr. Oz is sitting next to me. I'm so excited.
I know. And you know what? He was extremely charming, friendly, and to everybody in the studio. I mean, he was just a great guy, and he's got no-nonsense advice when it comes to medicine. And that's what's appealing about him, is that he gives you no holds barred, no-nonsense advice when it comes
yeah.
to your health.
We've had Dr. Oz on a show here on Blog Talk Radio. You can search Dr. Oz on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll find the show. He did a show talking about diabetes. So
yeah, it's on the Best of BTR page as well, under the health section. And he's really – I'm impressed with him and his new show and everything because, like you're saying, not only is he quite an intelligent and insightful doctor, but also his presence, his stage presence, and his ability to communicate well with people who don't have a lot of medical knowledge is, I think he's a gem. I really do like Dr. Oz as a person.
Well, I put a clip of him doing the news on my website, nancylou.net, so you can see what Dr. Oz is like as a news anchor.
He didn't do the weather, did he?
No, he didn't do the weather. I let him do the, he did the health segment. I only posted the health segment portion.
Okay. Now, we have a few moments left. I had a question about content and how much do you, I know the producers are very involved, obviously, in these shows, but how much do you get involved in content and what stories are told and reported on?
Well, honestly, when I come in for work, I'm assigned a story, and it's pretty much decided by the time I come in. I mean, I may argue to cover something else, or I may throw out something else, but pretty much it's discussed, and that's what the story I'm covering. But when it comes to the newscast, it's pretty much a team effort. The producer and executive producer stack the show and decide which stories are in, which form they'll take on the show. But if the anchors have questions about stories or, you know, wonder why are we doing this story and not that story, we do discuss things like that. And sometimes things change.
Well, it's wonderful. I want to thank you for being on our show today. It was a lot of fun chatting with you. And you said you had about 20 minutes worth of traffic, so hopefully your traffic is you're getting to your destination anytime soon.
I'm almost home.
You're almost
Yay.
Home.
Yay. So glad we could entertain you on your way.
Exactly.
This is part of my multitasking platform.
Very efficient use of your time. So what we'll do is we'll send you the interview on the MP3, the little flash player. We'll post it up. Of course, it'll be on blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy, and we'll send you the player. Maybe you could post it up to your blog or tweet about it, and people could listen to this, and maybe when they're on their ride home from their work someday.
Sounds like a great idea. I'll do that.
Okay, wonderful. Nancy, thanks again for joining us. We really had a great time.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Great.
Thanks. Nancy.
Thanks.
Bye.
So that was fun, Hillary.
Yeah, she was cool. I really liked her.
Yeah, really good. So we have just a couple of moments. Why don't we we had a couple of big events, a big show that happened has to do with Roman Polanski. Maybe you could talk about that. And then we have another big guest for next week you had mentioned as well.
Oh, we have so many things going on. It's hard to keep up. Now I'm going to have to make sure I get everything right. But, yeah, Roman Polanski's story was quite timely. It's really great when these things happen because the Movie Geeks had interviewed Brent Ratner about producing the new Roman Polanski documentary, and the interview was recorded prior to Roman Polanski's arrest, so it just happened kind of to all fall into place. But yeah, that got picked up all over the world, basically, because everyone's kind of thirsty for information about Roman Polanski. But the interview is going to air on Sunday on Movie Geeks United, Sunday, October 4th at 6 p.m. Eastern. So,
yeah, blogtalkradio.com. It'll be on our homepage, but it's blogtalkradio.com/ Movie Geeks United.
Movie Geeks United, yeah. And I'm going to post the URL in the chat room now. But yeah, that was a pretty cool thing.
It got picked up by the New York Post. It got picked up by the LA Times. And, I mean, it just from there it went Entertainment Weekly and gave full attribution to the Movie Geeks and Blog Talk Radio, which was really exciting. I mean, if we could get Roman Polanski actually on an interview, that would also be good.
Yeah, he's a little hard to get a hold of now, I'm sure. But, we got the next best thing. And so we like when we get these exclusive stories, and it shows, I mean, the Movie Geeks breaking news and doing a great job getting some of these exclusive interviews, so we're proud of them.
Yeah, they've done an amazing job. There are two, Jamie Duval and his co-host, what's his name? You know his name, Jamie's co-host? Well, they're from Jacksonville.
Oh, sorry.
They've been doing shows for three.
No, I'm looking up all the stuff for the...
We're looking up lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Movie Geeks has a great show. And Dino De Laurentiis will be on Blog Talk Radio next week. When will Dino De Laurentiis be on, Hillary?
Oh, Dino De Laurentiis, I think that's going to be, hold on. It's next week, I think, midweek.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, too, not just because of his producing career, but because his relationship to Giada De Laurentiis, who's now almost as famous as him. So it's going to be on the 8th.
Wonderful.
October 8th, so that's going to be Thursday. Thursday
check
night.
Into blogtalkradio.com, and you'll find all the details. Hillary, it was a pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. A lot of fun. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on the Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.